Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome into this now moment of ashtasharanradio.com, ashtatv.com, directoryofusa.com. And of course, we're supporting Mr. Bernie Sanders for president. So check out berniesanders.com. Okay, berniesanders.com. It's amazing at times we're living, beloved brothers and sisters. I am your brother Ashtar Sharan at your service, just sharing some divine light from my family to yours, from my heart to yours. We are all equal in the eyes of God, and that's what I'm, you know, here to share with you. That it's all happening, you know, amazingly, just divinely, and this magnificent loving energies of the divine as we speak. This amazing month of May 2016 is bringing us so much magic, so much wisdom, so much awakening, so much miracles, and so much justice as well, because the cabal is falling. You know, the huge tentacles of the octopus, of the dark cabal, which a lot of very well-known figures that you might know are part of it. And that's why it's very important to vote for Bernie Sanders. That's why it's very important, because he's the only one that you can trust, I'm telling you. And I am speaking from the heart, and I am someone that you can trust in terms of things from the heart, because I live in the heart. I'm always gonna tell you, you know, from the heart, what is my opinion. That is, this is my opinion. This is my the results of many hours and many days and many years and many lifetimes to get to this point. We all have prepared ourselves heavily with living lifetime after lifetime with multiple appearances that we ourselves, you know, selected, you know. And it's sometimes difficult to understand, why am I going through this or through that experience? And it's a combination of the choices that you are making right now, at this now moment, with your energy, with your thinking, with your, and also in the greater, you know, picture, you also selected those major events in your life, you know? So there's nothing to blame, nobody to blame, nobody to, but at this point, we just need to really open our hearts and open our minds to get out of these boxes of understanding that our own beliefs had limited us, you know. We have all these limitations according to our own beliefs and according to the society, to the education, the programming that we always see, the mind control. You know, literally to television and to the education system, you know, throughout the world. It's not just in one country. Everything is all for one, it's one group controlling the whole thing, you know. It's happening in America, and it's happening in South America, and it's happening in Europe right now with all this immigration, send light and love. All our brothers and sisters in Europe or anywhere that they need healing, they need a loving energy, a basic need, you know. We send them light and love and the best wishes for everyone that is from the light and every single brother and sister to be okay and to be however all those dark hearts to be just taken away from the forces of the light and taken, you know, just surrounded and everyone that has some crimes against humanity and stuff like that, they have to, you know, pay and go to trial. And that is why that's what is going to happen, you know, with all these people that are working for the cabal. Okay, so latest news according to our brother Bernie Sanders, you know, website, and BernieSanders.com. You can, you know, check it out. The newest press release: Sanders to DNC. He said, "Don't start the day at Philly convention, Burlington, Vermont, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Friday urged Democratic Party Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman show committee that will draft the rules and lay out the party platform at this summer's Democratic National Convention. In a letter to the party, Chairwoman Sanders said the makeup of the standing committees should reflect the relative level of support that he and Hillary Clinton received in primaries and caucuses. So far, Sanders has won about 45% of the pledged delegates, and both campaigns deserve a say at the convention this July in Philadelphia. Okay? But we want to make sure of that there is equality by the part of the DNC, and, you know, under the party rules, you know, Wasserman shows recommended that 25 at-large appointments to the party's executive committee for each of the three committees, rules, platform, and credentials. Wasserman shows has forwarded only 3 of 40 names the Sanders campaign recommended for the key committees, while installing Clinton loyalists in leading roles. Connecticut government Daniel Malloy was put in charge of the platform committee, for example, and former Rep. Barney Frank of Massachusetts was tapped to the head in the roles in the committee. Sanders called Malloy and Frank, quote, aggressive attacks and surrogates, end quote, for Clinton. He doubted that either would conduct committee proceedings in an even-handed manner, and said the appointments of the two Clinton loyalists, quote, suggest the standing committees are being established in an overtly partisan way meant to exclude the input of the voters who have supported my candidacy, end quote. How the party leadership comports itself at the convention will affect Democrats' chances of winning the general election this November, the Vermont senator said. Quote, if we are to have a unified party in the fall, no matter who wins the nomination, we cannot have a Democratic National Convention in which the views of millions of people who participated in the Democratic nominating process are unprecedented in the committee membership. That sends a very real message that the Democratic Party is not open to the millions of new people that our campaign has brought into the political process, does not want to hear new voices, and is unwilling to respect the broader base of people that this party needs to win over in November and beyond, end quote. Sanders wrote to Wasserman Schultz. The letter warned that if committee assignments are not fairly allotted, one result could be floor fights. Under party rules, minority reports may be brought before the full convention at the request of 35% of the party rules committees. Quote, if the process is set up to produce an unfair, one-sided result, we are prepared to mobilize our delegates to force as many votes as necessary to amend the platform and rules on the floor of the convention, Sanders wrote. So reading Sanders' letter to Wasserman Schultz, you know, to go to BernieSanders.com, okay, guys? There's a lot more, you know, news. I can read you a few more headlines of these press releases that are amazing. Check them out. BernieSanders.com, make sure to read them, also to donate. Make sure to donate. You need some some funding for California, for Oregon, and it's happening right now. They need to win California. They need to win. We need to win it because it's for the entire America and the entire world, literally. This is for the entire world because whoever stays as president is so important for as America, as the entire world, because that's who is going to influence the entire world with the policies that are going to be implemented. For instance, in poverty in America. It says Kimbo with Virginia. It says, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Thursday came to McDowell County, West Virginia, for a meeting with people from nearby towns and hollows who gathered at food banks in one of the worst pockets of poverty in the United States of America. How is that possible, guys? Quote, what is strange about what goes on in America is that we are the wealthiest country in the history of the world, end quote. Sanders told more than 250 people at the Five Loaves and Two Fishes food bank. He pointed out to mounting wealth and income inequality nationwide in West Virginia, while the top 1% saw incomes of incredible proportions. Please read the entire press release at BernieSanders.com. They also have another headline, Sanders to discuss poverty in America. It says, Kimbo, West Virginia, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Thursday was in the McDonald's County, West Virginia, to meet at the food bank, blah, blah, blah. Was something very, very related to the same situation. So that's what's happening. Another press release is Sanders' statement on Indiana primary win. He's in New Albany, Indiana. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders issued the following statement on Tuesday after the Associated Press projected he won the Indiana primary. Quote, I want to thank the people of Indiana for the great upset victory that they gave us tonight. This is the 18th state that we have won, and we expect more victories in the weeks to come. End quote. The Clinton campaign thinks this campaign is over, and they are wrong. Maybe it's over for the insiders and the party establishment, but the voters in Indiana had a different idea. The campaign wasn't over for them. So the message at Sanders, BernieSanders.com. There's a lot more juicy news that you might be interested. We go back to some updates after a couple of very wonderful messages, you know, from our beloved, Bernie Sanders. There's this wonderful interview. It seems from, check it out. Bernie.
Jonas, it's really nice to be here at your gorgeous home in Burlington. I would have gone to Guam to meet with you there. Guam caucus. You've got Guam tomorrow. A bunch of states that look good for you coming up. West Virginia, Kentucky.
We think we've got a shot in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Oregon, which are the next three states. And frankly, Rachel, I think we, you know, who can predict? But I think we have a shot to win the majority of the primaries and caucuses remaining.
Including California and New Jersey, all the tough ones on that last day.
New Jersey is a hard one for us, but I think we have a good chance to win California, and that's something I very much want to do. We have a good organization there. We have a lot of support, and we're going to fight as hard as we can to win the largest state in this country.
We heard today about the super PAC that supports your opponent, Secretary Clinton. They've just made a $91 million ad buy, but it's general election stuff. It's anti-Trump and pro-Clinton stuff. They're not advertising in any of the rest of the Democratic states.
Well, we'll see what they do in California. That's what they say. We'll see what the reality is. We are going to spend a modest amount of money in West Virginia and in Kentucky on ads, and we'll see where we go from there. But our main focus will be on the ground, and we would like to win a majority of the remaining states. And by the way, if we do that, it is possible that we can end up having won half of the states in this country, some 25 states.
Is it within reach for you to get a majority of pledged delegates?
It is a steep bill, and I will not be dishonest with you. We're going to have to win about 65% of the remaining votes. Is it possible? Yeah. It is a very hard fight, but we're going to wage that fight. Look, when I began this campaign a year ago, we were at 3% in the polls. We have come a long way, and we're going to fight for every last vote, and we're going to try to win the pledged delegate majority.
And it's, I know you've talked about this a lot, but I feel like I've got sort of two different answers in mind, and I'm not sure what your plan is now. If you don't have a pledged delegate majority on June 14th, which is D.C., is that a time when you would assess and potentially wrap up your campaign, make a decision about what you do with regard to Secretary Clinton, or would you not assess on that day and go to the convention?
Go ahead and put the convention.
Look, even without a majority?
Absolutely. Look, if we do not win the majority of pledged delegates, if we do not win the nomination, we will go into the convention with, who knows, 45, 48, 49% of the pledged delegates. Those are the real delegates that people voted for. And if that happens, we're going to wage a very vigorous fight at the convention for a progressive agenda, which says that the United States should join every other major country in guaranteeing health care to all people, paid family and medical leave to working families, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, being really vigorous in combating climate change, including the tax on colleges and universities tuition-free. That's the agenda that millions of people have supported. And if we end up with 48, 49% of the pledge votes, I think we could win those fights on the floor of the convention.
In terms of getting that into the Democratic Party platform, I don't know what's in the Democratic Party platform now. And I the reason I don't feel guilty about that is because I feel like the platform of the party is something that doesn't have a shelf life much beyond the convention. It doesn't feel like a binding.
The answer is yes, agreement. I mean, that's certainly true. No one thinks that the a Democratic president is going to abide by every word of the Democratic platform. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it does say something. It does reflect what the base of the Democratic Party believes should be the future of this country. And I intend to do everything that I can to make that the most progressive document that we possibly can. And I think, by the way, that is the document that the Democratic grassroots people really want to see.
You wrote a letter to the DNC chair today, basically saying that you feel like you are being underrepresented in some key committees.
That's not what I feel. I mean, that is the objective fact. I think she selected three of our delegates, and I believe the total number is 60 there. What we want is a fair representation at the convention. We want our people to be in a position to help shape the document of the platform of the Democratic Party. When we have three delegates and Clinton and the Democratic establishment have far, far more than that, that is simply unfair. We don't accept that.
And your the or else that went with this argument in your letter to the DNC chair basically said that if you aren't treated fairly, you will demand extensive and as many as necessary floor votes, a floor fight.
We will use the rules of the Democratic convention to make certain that there is a vigorous debate on the important issues facing the American people. All we are asking for here is fairness, not to have the deck stacked against us. So far, the deck is outrageously stacked against us. If I end up with 45 or 50% of the pledged delegates, we want 45 or 50% of people, our people, to be on the key committees. And I don't think that that's an unreasonable request.
And the kind of fight that you're talking about, though, in that circumstance, is over who gets the nomination or is over who gets the platform?
Well, if we don't have the votes to get the nomination, we're not going to get the nomination. That becomes then the platform fight. So again, if I end up with 45 or 50% of the pledged delegates, we want 45 or 50% of people, our people, to be on the key committees. And I don't think that that's an unreasonable request.
And the kind of fight that you're talking about, though, in that circumstance, is over who gets the nomination or is over who gets the platform?
Well, if we don't have the votes to get the nomination, we're not going to get the nomination. That becomes then the platform fight. But let me say this in terms of the nomination. We're going to try to get a majority of pledged delegates, and that's going to be a hard fight, but we're going to try to do that in the next 9 contests. But we're also going to appeal to superdelegates. What's not widely known is that well over 400 of the superdelegates who are supporting Clinton today came on board and in the race before the first vote was cast. And the point that I make to those superdelegates is, look, take a look at the polling, national polling and state-by-state polling. Bernie Sanders versus Trump, Hillary Clinton versus Trump. In virtually every instance, Bernie Sanders was better against Trump than Hillary Clinton. And the reason for that is that we are reaching out and winning a lot of independent votes, not just Democrats. You're going to need independents to win the general election. I believe that I am the strongest candidate against Trump, and we're going to make that point to the superdelegates.
A couple points on that. You have already articulated that you think that in the Democratic nominating contest, that there shouldn't be closed primaries, that independents should be able to vote in all of them. You talked about that very strongly around the New York issue, but across the board. Do you also think, in terms of reforming the process, should the Democratic Party get rid of superdelegates?
I don't know that you get rid of superdelegates in their entirety. I think there is a role for established people to play. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it is absurd. 400 establishment Democrats on board Hillary Clinton's campaign before anybody else was in the race. That stacks the deck in a very, very unfair way for any establishment candidate and against the wishes of the people.
So you don't want them to go away as an institution. You just think that they should hold their fire in terms of...
Well, that's one thing. I don't know. We're going to think it through.
Yeah.
There should be a role for superdelegates, but not the kind of role that it is right now. Today, they have much too much power, and it makes it very difficult for an insurgent campaign of the people to take on the establishment the way it is constructed right now.
It seems to me like the other sort of small d Democratic problem in the way the Democrats and Republicans pick their nominees are the caucuses. And I know caucuses have a strong history and they have their adherents, but they're pretty anti-democratic. They're complicated. They're for insiders. They take a lot of time. They exclude, in effect, a lot of people. That said, you've done very, very well at caucuses. What's your view on them?
The answer is yes and no. Everything you've said is true, but there's another side to that. I happen to believe that we have to really reinvigorate American democracy, not only getting much larger voter turnouts than we have in the midterm election. 63% of the people didn't vote. This is unacceptable. So we need to figure out ways to bring people into the process. We also have to figure out a way to engage people in a very deep sense in American democracy. And what caucuses do, you're right, it does take time to come to a caucus and to argue with your neighbor about which candidate is the better candidate. But you know what? I kind of like that. You know, I understand there are negatives to it, but I do like the idea of the American people becoming more engaged in the political process. Yeah, you spend a few hours on a Saturday afternoon, but this is, you are helping to determine the future of America. So, you know.
Has it touched that?
I don't think we should dismiss the caucuses.
Caucus states, you're safe. Senator Bernie Sanders says he thinks he could win 25 of the 50 states this year, even if he doesn't win the Democratic nomination. But even if he does, try to take a campaign that's successful and turn it basically into a reform machine for the Democratic Party. He says caucuses are safe, and so are superdelegates. Not so much. That's next.
The night of your Indiana win,
he said that delegates are going to conclude that you're the candidate who can best defeat Donald Trump, who we now know will be the Republican nominee, because your campaign is generating the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the voter turnout needed to beat him. But even though you won Indiana, voter turnout there was down 50% from 2008.
You're right.
It's been down in state after state.
In a number of states, very often we're being compared to Obama's historical campaign of 2008.
That's the comparison I made.
Right, where the voter turnout was off the charts.
Yeah.
And yet there are, as I recall, 5 or 6 states where the voter turnout in this election was actually higher than Obama's. But you're quite right. In Pennsylvania, it was a disaster. And in Indiana, it was very low. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that a number of independents ended up going into the Republican camp, which scares me very much. And I think I would repeat that in the general election, we have to shut the windows independents back.
There is an argument going on within Democratic circles, because I've been making this case basically publicly that the Democrats' voter turnout compared to 2008 is something that Democrats should probably worry about. I've heard from other people inside the Democratic establishment that doesn't matter. The fact that Republicans are turning out record numbers now in the primaries and Democrats aren't has no bearing on the general election. I feel like it's a sign of worry that neither you nor Secretary Clinton have been able to turn out enough voter turnout to compete with what happened in LA.
I think it is a sign of worry, but I would indicate that we're up against Obama's historic, unprecedented campaign in 2008, which brought out unbelievable turnouts. But yet we have done in 5 or 6 states actually exceeded those turnouts. But here is what the challenge is. In 2014, nobody voted. 63% of the people didn't vote. Republicans won a landslide victory. That will happen again in this general election. Our job is to create excitement, to create energy, to get working people who might not have voted in the past, young people who might not have voted, into the political process. That's what we have to do. If there is a large voter turnout on election night, you can turn off the TV because the Democratic candidate will have won. If there's a low voter turnout, I worry about the outcome. And one of the reasons why I think I am the stronger candidate is that we have been generating a significant amount of interest among young people and working people, people who traditionally may not have been voting.
So even if the raw numbers aren't greater than we saw in LA, you think the types of voters that are turning out, it's a new reach for the Democratic Party.
And I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
As we go into the Democratic Convention, the Democratic Party has got to open its doors to those young people, to those working people who now do not feel much allegiance to the Democratic Party. And that means the Democratic Party has got to be very clear about which side it is on. Is it going to be on the side of Wall Street? Is it going to be on the side of the drug companies? Or is it prepared to stand with working families and low-income people and demand a government that represents all of us and not just the 1%? When you do that, I believe, when you have that agenda, you create excitement at the base.
When I look at your overall diagnosis of the big problem in the United States, and Hoggle, I've heard you explain why it is you decided to run. I mean, you are the most popular senator in America, according to your constituents. They polled every state in the country, and nobody likes their senator more than Vermont likes you. And you have a Senate seat for life in Vermont if you wanted it. And I've heard you explain why you're running for president. It is this big problem of the economic divide, this new gilded age that we're in, concentration of wealth at the top, pollution comes to fruition. And you get to make the changes that you have talked about on trade, on taxes, on the banks, on minimum wage, on healthcare, everything. How long does that plan take to fix the problem, as you see?
I think we could do it a lot quicker than many people think. But the key to that is to rally the American people to stand up and fight back and have a willingness to take on the 1% today that has extraordinary power. But can we break up the large banks on Wall Street and create a financial system that works for small and medium-sized businesses fairly quickly? Yeah, I think we can. Can we make public colleges and universities tuition-free? Yeah, I think we can. Can we rebuild our crumbling infrastructure? Yeah, we can do that. We have to do that by eliminating these outrageous corporate loopholes that now exist and help the states and municipalities rebuild their water systems and their wastewater plants. Yeah, we can do that. Can we come up with a tax proposal for large corporations? You can't simply put their profits in the Cayman Islands and in Bermuda. You aren't going to have to start paying your fair share of taxes. Yes, I can. We think we can do it. Now, the trick to all of this thing is that it's not going to be done just inside the Beltway. It's not going to be it's not going to occur with me talking to Paul Ryan. It's going to happen when millions of people are actively engaged in the political process and determine that America is not the country, should not be the country, where almost all new wealth and income goes to the top 1% and the middle class continues to decline. Now, can we do that? Well, that's tough. I don't know. That's hard. That's hard stuff. Well, I think we can. I think the American people are sick and tired of establishment politics and economics. And by the way, a little bit tired of corporate media as well. They want real changes in this country. And I think as President of the United States, we can ignite those changes.
What's the solution to corporate media?
I think we have got to think about ways that the Democratic Party, for a start, starts funding the equivalent of Fox Television.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think that pressure is going to be put on media to say that, you know what, maybe as a nation, the American people are entitled to hear real discussions on real issues. You tell me, you're in the media, who's going to win in West Virginia? How many delegates does Hillary Clinton have? What dumb thing did Donald Trump say yesterday rather than why are we the only country in the industrialized world not to guarantee health care to all people? How much discussion have you heard on TV about the fact that the top 1/10 of 1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%? That's the kind of discussion we need, and the American people need to be engaged in that. So we have got to demand of corporate media, and that's going to be hard because this is against their own best interest. NBC is owned by who?
Comcast, our overlords.
All right, Comcast is not one of the most popular corporations in America, right?
All right,
et cetera, et cetera. And I think the American people are going to have to say to NBC and ABC and CBS and CNN, you know what? Forget the political gossip. Politics is not a soap opera. Talk about the real damn issues facing this country. I was in McDowell County, Virginia, 18 years less than it is in Fairfax, Virginia. 18 years. People's now life expectancy is the equivalent of Guatemala. Do you think it should be happening in America? I don't think so. But we don't discuss those issues. So I would hope that the corporate media understands their responsibility to our democracy to allow serious discussion on serious issues, not look at politics just as a horse race.
As a candidate, you have raised those issues consistently over and over and over again.
Without much success, I must say.
Well, plenty of success. I mean, you've raised $250 million, right? You've driven.
No, but I mean in terms of the corporate media.
Every time you.
Well, great interview. You can just send me an email. We are all1.com, WER like Robert, A like Apoyo, like Lola, A like Lola, Karen like Nancy, E like Edward.com. So it's W like Way, E like Edward, R like Robert, ALLONE. Because we are all one with one R instead of ARE. So it's WERALLONE.com. And send me a message, send me a donation. I'll send you a message every month, every week. It's up to you with a bunch of, you know, latest news, you know, messages, updates, to videos, etc. Very incredible stuff, guys. It's incredible times we're living, I'm telling you. I am Astar Shiran at your service. I'm here to help you go to a higher, you know, understanding, a higher, you know, vibration from the heart, you know, like the family that we all are. You know what I mean? We are here to help each other. So I invite you to check out our site, read the updates, donate if you can, you know, to us to help us make a movie, to help our cause. And also to Bernie Sanders and BernieSanders.com. We thank everyone. There's a lot of things going on. Please check out our updates are amazing. You know, there's updates there from the Galactic Federation of Light. Just incredible things are happening. Money, funding, it's about to start rolling for everybody, guys. So, and I'm telling you that the here you are a little bit. I said later alligators. I give you a little update so you can go for the rest. That we are all1.com. At present, the movement of critical funds has slowed in the order to be carefully protected by new security protocols. The Chinese ancient families are worried since a number of incidents are occurring that threaten the continuous flow of funds. The Dark Cabal is doing everything possible to interfere with this growing flow. The attack on SWIFT, coupled with a general increase in the number of vital hacks into the money supply, is temporarily in overall security. For this reason, the process caused the ancient families to